Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you guys once again for joining the 9 Innings Podcast hosted by yours truly, Kevin Thompson, founder and CEO of 9i Capital Group. Thank you guys for joining. As I always say, subscribe to the channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP Live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@9icapitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.9icapitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage, and also entertain. Follow us on all social media channels at MLB to CFP. Today, we're here to talk about facts over feelings, the cost of tax cuts, who really pays the bill. We're going to talk about three of the proposals that are out there. You don't want to miss this episode, my friends. Let's get it. Today on this podcast, we're here to break down three separate proposals. We're going to be talking about what's fluff, what's real. I'm your host, Kevin Thompson, of this beautiful, beautiful episode. And today we're going to be diving into three tax proposals that have recently grabbed some attention, bipartisan, by the way. And I know they all sound good on paper. I know they all sound good when they come out of people's mouths. But I want to dig deep into what is actually being said and how it's going to impact you, the individual. It's important to know how all of these things impact you, the consumer. So let's dig in. The first one's going to be no tax on tips. We're going to talk about part two, no federal tax on the first $150,000 of income. And part three, eliminating Social Security taxation. Each one of these has its pros, but we've got to ask ourselves, who's actually paying, who's actually winning, and what are the long-term consequences? So let's start with no tax on tips. I know this is one of those things that we talk about. This is a good thing. I'm all for putting more money into people's pockets. This is one of those rare bipartisan things that go in, and both sides supported it. On the surface, it sounds like a win for the service worker. More take-home pay, right? Less interference from Uncle Sam. But let's look under the hood. Here's the truth. This is just a band-aid of a solution. Why? Because it presents and preserves the status quo. In the U.S., many tipped workers, especially servers and bartenders, earn far below a living wage of base pay. Employers rely on tips to make up the difference. If tips aren't taxed, it might incentivize people not to provide livable wages. It gives the employer less incentive to raise or boost the wages, period. In fact, they might even use that as an argument about against raising base pay. Why pay workers more when you're already getting a tax break? Meanwhile, in countries like Australia, the European Union, service workers get paid a fair wage, a livable wage, and tipping isn't customary. If you put money on the table, they'll be like, what is this? It's almost rude. It's almost considered rude leaving money on the table. This proposal, while seemingly pro-worker, may actually entrench a flawed system where the responsibility to pay workers falls not on the employer, but on us. So what do you think? Tax on tips. No tax on tips. Should the responsibility be on the employer, or should it be on us, the individuals? Because we see it, people see it in the capitalist system as, yes, it incentivizes people to work harder and give a better service. I understand that. But again, what about the people who are working hard and don't get tips, don't get the necessary, where tips are based on the day you work, the time of day you work, the environment you work in, the neighborhood you work in? It's one of those things that, it's almost like a luck of a draw. The quality of the food, the quality of the service, it all works together. Part two, no federal tax on the first $150,000 of income. Whoosh, big swing. This sounds good. I'm not going to lie. This sounds good for middle income earners. It sounds great. Who won't want to keep more money in their pockets? I want to keep more money in my pocket. But here's the kicker. We're running a deficit, guys. Every dollar that's not taxed, we're spending. Period. If we get that tax dollar back, we're basically borrowing that from ourselves. And guess what? We're paying interest on that borrowed dollar. So in effect, when you get a tax cut during a deficit, you're just borrowing your own money and paying it back with interest. Anything you can see, here's another layer. This could actually disincentivize wage increases. Think about it. Employers might say, hey, your take-home pay has just increased. Why do you need a raise? But there, think about this, guys. Higher take-home pay is being subsidized by whom? By us. Again, the taxpayer. This starts looking less like a middle-class relief and more like corporate welfare. Companies can hoard profits, push the tax wage burden back to the government, and funnel those gains to the shareholders, which is exactly what's going to happen. So in theory, tax cuts can be stimulative. In practice, they often shift the burden downstream, especially if they're not being offset by spending cuts or long-term fiscal planning. So what say you? Tax cuts, again, yeah, they're tax cuts for the consumer, more money in our pocket, but we're just getting our money back, right? The government's gonna have to run a significant deficit to do that, because guess what? A lot of that money the government brings in is from tax revenue. The majority of it, matter of fact. Trillions of dollars. If that basically goes away overnight, I'm not saying all of it, but some of it, a large majority of it, because a large majority of Americans make less than $150,000. I think the number was roughly $2 to $3 trillion coming from that cohort of individuals, and I could be wrong, and forgive me for that. I think last time I said it was 2.3 or something like that. But anyways, if you have $2 trillion less of revenue, where's that money going to come from? Growth? I don't know. Doubt that. Finally, eliminating Social Security tax. Now, they're not talking about elimination of Social Security tax across the board. They're not talking about elimination of payroll tax across the board. They're talking about elimination. They're talking about raising the caps, raising the income wage bases or the income bases that haven't been raised in years. Social Security beneficiaries have to pay at a certain level. Say if you make over $24,000 or $36,000, whatever, a certain percentage of your Social Security benefit will be subject to tax. They're talking about raising that $24,000, I believe. That's anything underneath that you make is 0%. Which I think about raising that from 24 to, I think, the 36 or something to that effect. So if they raise that amount, again, I'm all for it because it hasn't been raised, especially when the COLA increases, or the COLA is increasing your amount every single year and is increasing your taxable wage every single year. So if they're looking to increase that, which again, I'm all for, we're finding more and more ways to take money out of the system versus putting it back into the system. What are we doing? 2034, 2035, the system, the trust fund is set to go bankrupt. That's the trust fund. That's the overages, not the actual Social Security system. If we don't get that put into place, the trust fund allows you to get 100% of your benefit right now, currently. Without the trust fund and the overages, your benefits are going to get cut almost 17%. I think you're only going to get roughly 80%, 83% of your dollars coming back to you. So you want more money today, or do you want more money for a longer period of time? Think about it. This sounds like a bold idea, but it's dangerous. Roughly $50 billion goes into the Social Security system that's being taxed from beneficiaries every single year. That's, again, it's projected to go unsolved by 2034. If nothing changes, benefits will be slashed. Supporters say, well, we'll make up the difference by lifting the income caps. Well, yeah, I get that, but that's just only going to be one lever they need to pull. Here's the math problem. Every time you raise the Social Security bracket or eliminate or possible minimize or eliminate payroll taxes, we remove dollars from the system that needs more funding. We got to figure out how to fund it. It's worth asking, why are we constantly looking for ways to take money out of the system, like I mentioned before, instead of finding ways to sustain it? Social Security isn't a free Social Security itself, and I get so frustrated and upset, and I know I start to jumble my words, but Social Security isn't just a benefit. For many Americans, it's the primary source of their retirement income. Undermining it isn't just bad math. It's a betrayal of generational promise. So what say you? Should they minimize the taxation of Social Security? Now, I know a lot of the people that are talking about it, the lower income spectrum, which again, that's going to help them get more money in their pocket. But again, you're still taking more money out of the system. So closing thoughts. We talked about no tax on tips. We talked about the tax proposal in regards to no tax on $150,000 of income. And I believe they're talking about federal tax, by the way. And we also talked about Social Security taxation, increasing that amount. So 0%. So there's less tax on that as well. So what do all these proposals have in common? They're pitched as relief, as wins for the middle class. But beneath this veneer, they're often short-term gains with long-term consequences. Let me be clear. I am not against tax cuts. But we need to understand what's one truth. As long as we're running deficits, any tax cut is just us borrowing from our own money with interest. The congressional budget estimates that the current proposals put in place could increase our deficit $5 to $7 trillion over the next decade, which is likely higher than that. Now, the real question isn't, do you want a tax cut? The real question is, who pays for it and when? Thank you guys for listening to the 90s podcast. Subscribe to the channel. Go and get my book, MLB to CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. Go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, engage, and also entertain. Follow us on all social media channels at MLB to CFP. Today, we talked about some of the proposals that are out there, some of the ideas that are out there, and why many of them are just smoke and mirrors. But some of them may work. Some of them may go through. But at the end of the day, deficits will continue to grow. Thank you, guys. Stay humble, stay safe, my friends. I'll see you again soon.